Thanks, Whitney. As you said, it's kind of a sobering story, but I'm thankful you shared it. We've been praying for our kids. I know that truthfulness is a very important thing for you children to learn. It's one of the few things that it can become a very bad habit in our lives, and we definitely don't want to have that sting. We want to learn to be truthful even when it's difficult. I want to share a few verses. They're, I think, all familiar, but they were just both challenging and encouraging me this morning. So turn to Matthew chapter 14. In Matthew chapter 14, the story I was reading was about Jesus and the disciples when Jesus was walking on the water. So in verse 22, it says, "Immediately he made the disciples get into the boat and go ahead of him to the other side, while he sent the crowds away. After he'd sent the crowds away, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray, and when it was evening, he was there alone. But the boat was already a long distance from the land, battered by the waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, he came to them walking on the water. When the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified, and he said, 'It is a ghost,' and they cried out in fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, 'Take courage, it is I, do not be afraid.' Peter said to him, 'Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water.' And he said, 'Come.' And Peter got out of the boat and walked on the water and came toward Jesus. But seeing the wind, he became frightened and began to sink. He cried out, 'Lord, save me.' Immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and took hold of him and said to him, 'You of little faith, why did you doubt?'" And I'm going to read also a little bit of the account in Mark chapter 6, and then I'll share a few thoughts. So you can turn to Mark chapter 6. I'll maybe just skip to the latter part of the account. It starts in verse 45. And it says in verse 48, seeing them, so this is Jesus now, "seeing them straining at the oars, for the wind was against them, at about the fourth watch of the night, he came to them walking on the sea, and he intended to pass by them. But when they saw him walking on the sea, they supposed that it was a ghost and cried out. For they all saw him and were terrified. But immediately he spoke with them and said to them, 'Take courage, it is I, do not be afraid.' Then he got into the boat with them, and the wind stopped, and they were utterly astonished, for they had not gained any insight from the incident of the loaves, but their heart was hardened." So as I was reading these two familiar passages today, I just was kind of reflecting on, like, what are the lessons? And I think most of us have heard these stories and heard probably lots of good messages on the lessons to be learned. But for myself, I was just kind of reflecting on, what are the lessons for me today? Like, what are some of the things that can speak to my heart from this testimony again? And there's a few things that came to me. And the first was, I was kind of reflecting on the situation and the difficulties with the disciples on the boat. And then also Peter, when he got out and walked on the water. And I just, in my heart, I was feeling like, in my day-to-day and in the reality that I desire in my walk with Jesus Christ, I felt like this, for me, was like a bit of a testimony of having peace in the midst of trying circumstances, having peace in the midst of situations where we're feeling buffeted by the wind and the waves and it's against us, and Jesus maybe doesn't feel like he's with us at the time. And when I reflected on that, I sort of like, yeah, it sort of can, I think it can definitely have some application that way. And I'm going to read some verses about it, but even as we look just at these passages, if you have that lens, and I'm not saying it's the only way to look at it, but if you have that lens, you can kind of start to see a few things in this passage. And the first one, I thought was just, it's obvious, right? But I just was thinking of the disciples struggling with those oars, and in a situation where I think they were getting afraid. I think they were, like, it says in Mark that they were afraid when they saw Jesus, but I would infer, I think they were already in a place of being very tense. Like, this was a challenging situation. And it's so interesting in Mark, it actually says that Jesus intended to pass them by. I think it might say the same thing in John, because it's in three of the Gospels, this story is there. And I was reflecting on that, like, why was Jesus intending to pass them by? And I the conclusion I came to, which you can reflect on for yourself, I feel like the conclusion was that he was hoping his disciples had learned something from the feeding of the 5,000. Because it says that at the end of the testimony in Mark, that their hearts were hardened and they hadn't learned from the feeding of the 5,000. But I think Jesus was hoping that they would learn from that and realize that their Heavenly Father could take care of them, and that they didn't need, that in this situation, they didn't need to be terrified. They didn't need to fear that somehow they were going to drown in the middle of this lake, that they could actually trust their Heavenly Father. Just as the example they'd been seeing in Jesus, they could trust him to get them through this. But in that, they failed. They didn't do it. They weren't successful. They were struggling. They were afraid when they saw Jesus. They were afraid in the boat. And then I was encouraged by Jesus' response to them. Irrespective of how you understand the intent of Jesus to pass them by, the response from Jesus is clear. When they cried out, he came to them and he said, "Do not be afraid." He said, "Do not be afraid." At the end, he exhorted them. At the end of Mark, he exhorted them and said, "Listen, your hearts are hardened. Like, why?" Or in Peter, he said, "Why do you? Your faith is little." Like, he did give them some exhortation, but that was not his first response. His first response was to comfort them and to say, "Do not be afraid. I'm here. I'm going to help you. It's okay." And then in that, he did come to the end. He said to Peter, once he was out on the water and struggling and starting to sink, he did, once again, his first response, he saved Peter. He pulled him up. He helped him. But then he did challenge him and said, like, "You have little faith. Why did you doubt?" And in the midst of this, I was sort of thinking for myself about, if I'm struggling and in a situation where I feel like I am lacking peace, I feel like I am lacking the ability to have a rest in myself because of the situation I see around me, and it is troubling me, and I am struggling in the midst of it, we can have a confidence that whether we should, like Jesus intended to pass them by, but he had to come to them, but whether we should be further along, or whether the enemy's lying and say, you've struggled with this before, you shouldn't be struggling with this again, we can have a confidence that if we call out to Jesus, he will come to us, and he will help us, and he will say, "Do not be afraid." He wants to give us his peace. He desires, and I'm going to read some verses about that, but he desires to give us his peace. So we should never let the enemy lie to us and say that in this situation, because of our own strugglings, our own failings, we're beyond finding the peace of God. If we come in humility, if we come with a cry for help, Jesus is there. He desires to give us his peace. But in that, we can also see that he exhorts and he encourages. The path to them in these situations, the lesson that he wanted them to learn in this was, I think, about faith and about believing in him and trusting him in these situations. Because he told Peter, like, "Why, you have little faith, why did you doubt?" And then at the end of the passage in Mark, he talked to them about their hearts being hardened. About their hearts being hardened. And we have a couple places in the New Testament where it talks about hardening of hearts. One is, it says our hearts can be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. Sin can harden our hearts if we're making provision for the flesh and allowing sin to creep into our lives and not taking it seriously, not asking Jesus to help us, not repenting of it. That can harden our hearts. But it also says at the end of Mark, when Jesus came and talked to the disciples when they were after he'd risen from the dead, and he said that he exhorted them for their hardness of heart and unbelief when others had told them about Jesus Christ being risen from the dead. So the other linkage I see to hardness of heart is unbelief. Like, they saw the miracle of the 5,000 being fed, and yet it didn't produce something in them. It didn't produce a faith in them that would help them in the next trial. And Jesus was, he was a little disappointed about that. And I don't say that to bring condemnation, because I know I've walked these roads myself, but Jesus was a little disappointed that their hearts were still hardened, that they hadn't learned from what he'd already done. And I was reflecting on that even just now and sort of thinking, like, how can we avoid that? What are some ways that we can, how could the disciples have done something different? And one thing that came to mind for me is, I don't know, we don't know what all happened. We don't know the account that's in here, but in one thing that, even in just daily life and little things that that we walk through as a family, one area that I've been thinking of is, like, when we pray and we ask the Lord to help us with something, or we see God do something, it's good to reflect on that and give thanks. it's good to reflect on that. And even if it's a minor thing, we had a minor little situation. Maggie had a really bad cough going into bed last night. I know some of you guys have had colds. And for us, it's a little bit of a test because she's been sick before. But we prayed before bed last night, like, Lord, help her. And she coughed like crazy till around midnight. And then, boom, she had a great sleep. And I sort of was going through my morning this morning and reflecting on it and thinking about it. And then all of a sudden, it's like, you know what? I haven't even thanked the Lord for that. And I just took a moment and said, thank you, Lord. Thank you that she did not deteriorate. Thank you that this bad start to the night did not continue all the way through, that you heard prayer, you answered prayer, and you're helping her body. And I'm not trying to ascribe it to being a miracle. Even if it's just her immune system fighting it off, it's cause for thanksgiving. It's cause to reflect and say, God, you helped in that situation. This is something that we can get anxious about. This is something that we as a family can get worried about. And we prayed, and the night was good. And I just was reflecting this morning. I was like, you know what? I need to give thanks for that. I need to reflect and remember the ways that God has helped. And I just was hoping and believing that I think that that's part of the way, that's one way that our hearts can remain soft. That's one way that we can have a heart that when God does something, we can learn from it. Just as Jesus was hoping the disciples would have learned from the feeding of the 5,000 and grown in faith, and their hearts would have been softer after seeing that miracle happen. We too, as we go through our daily lives, we all want to grow in this. I suspect if I asked everybody in this room, would you like to grow in the peace of God? I think any of us who are honest would have to say yes, because I think any of us can reflect, whether you have to look back a long ways or whether you just have to look back 24 hours, we can see situations where we were struggling against the oars, where we were feeling a little battered by the wind and the waves, and we needed to be able to find the peace of God in our hearts. We needed to be able to find His peace in that situation. And I'm going to read some more verses about this topic, about finding the peace of God, but I just can say this, like, if you read the letters that the apostles wrote, like, they often started that letter with two things. One of them was, like, wishing and praying for the grace of God for the believers, but the other one was that they would have peace. And it was a critical thing for them, that they wanted the believers, that the churches that they were seeking to encourage, they wanted them to have grace and peace. And I think none of us would deny we need the grace of God. Like, it's anybody who's had any reality of their Christian walk and sought to live a life according to the promises of the new covenant, you realize that it is completely and utterly impossible without the grace of God. Like, it is so critical to have the grace of God in our lives. But it's not like, it is like, I just was for myself, like, having a sort of a bit of a renewed, or I guess an elevated look at, like, you know what? The apostles, when they were seeking to encourage the churches, they were encouraging also that the peace of God would be growing, that the believers would be abiding and have that blessing in their lives as well. Not just the grace of God, but also the peace of God. So let's read a few verses about that. Let's go to 1 John 14, chapter 27. Or John chapter 14, verse 27. And I'm just going to jump around a little bit. And I don't have much to add on these verses, but I think if we just reflect on them and take encouragement from them, I think there can be a blessing in that. So when Jesus is talking to the disciples in John 14, verse 27, he says, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Do not let your heart be troubled, nor let it be fearful." So he's in that verse right there, it's just so clear that Jesus wanted his disciples to have his peace. He said he'd give it to them. He just was basically just making a command that they would have his peace. And he was saying that he didn't want their hearts to be troubled or fearful. And he knew what was coming. He knew what was coming with his crucifixion and all the challenge that was coming upon them. And he also knew that they were going to fail. He knew that their hearts were going to be troubled. He knew that their hearts were going to be fearful as they hid in that upper room. But he still gave them this command. He gave them this promise because he, just a few verses before, he said, the Holy Spirit's going to come and he's going to bring to remembrance everything I've spoken to you. So even though they failed that time, there would be times in the future when they were indwelled by the Holy Spirit, that they would be able to remember that promise that Jesus came to us and he commanded peace. He promised us peace. Not as the world gives, not as a temporary peace that can only abide and sustain when the situation's good or when we're not facing difficulty, but a peace that can allow us to have our hearts overcome that which troubles us, overcome that which makes us fearful. And I share this not to give any condemnation to anyone, because I know this is a battle. I know this is a battle. We all have our different tests, but I can think back to my test this week where I did not abide in all that I'm reading here. I had times where I know my anxiety or my concerns caused me to get in a bit of a grumpy mood or be short with someone because I just wasn't abiding in God's peace. I wasn't able to calm my heart by just reflecting and finding the grace of God, finding the peace of God to rule in it. But the promise is here. What I want to do is encourage us to reflect on the fact that it's here, that Jesus Christ has commanded it for his disciples, that he would leave his peace. He has given us his peace, and it's there for us. It's there to be had. It's there to be found in every situation. We can find his peace. He has given it to us. And I was just encouraged and challenged because I know that for myself, like, I don't know for others, but for me, that verse about the heart being hard, it talked about it in Mark. And like, for me, I don't know, like, that is tangible. Like, I can feel that. Like, I know when I'm in a situation and my heart is hard. Like, it's just, it is not receiving hope. It is not trusting in God. I'm not abiding in his peace. And I know when I'm in that situation, I am not the reflection of Jesus Christ. I am not the blessing that Jesus Christ wants me to be to my family, to those around me. It's not a place I want to abide. I read these verses and I like, Lord, I want more. I want this peace. I do not want to have a hard heart in the face of difficulty. I want to have a heart that is soft and believing in you and is finding your peace, that I can abide in your peace and give that peace to others. Because just as Jesus gave it and offered it to his disciples, when we are at peace, I can't point you to the scripture, maybe somebody else could, but I know it rubs off. I know that in a situation, because I've been in it, I've been in a situation where a brother, even Maddie, comes into a situation where I'm struggling, and there is a faith and a peace there, and it can be passed on to others. It can be contagious. Just as anxiety and worry can be contagious, so can the peace of God be contagious to others. And I want that. I want to be growing in that in my life and being able to share it with others. So now let's turn to John 16:33. He says in John 16:33, he says, "These things I have spoken to you, so that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but take courage. I have overcome the world." So if you read the things he'd spoken to them, he was talking to them about some of the difficulty to come. But I just was encouraged in the simple fact that he'd shared these things, that in Jesus Christ they might have peace. In this world, there's going to be tribulation. In the external circumstances, there's going to be tests. There's going to be difficulties, whether they're small or whether they're great. But in Jesus Christ, he was promising them that they would have peace. That they would have peace. And he also promised them that he had overcome the world. That in whatever areas the world was seeking to bring them tribulation, seeking to bring them anxiety, they could be rest assured that Jesus Christ had overcome the world and that he had the answer. He had the ability to give them peace in any circumstance, in any situation, because he had faced all that the world could throw, all that the enemy could throw at him. He had faced all of it and overcome it. He'd overcome it. And he was there and able to give that same peace to the disciples. And I was just reflecting on that. Why do you say I've overcome the world? Like, we know Jesus overcame and lived a perfectly sinless life. That whatever temptation came, he overcame it. And he knew how to fight when the tempter came to him. He had the scriptures and he gave us an example of resisting temptation in that. But I was sort of reflecting on this as well and saying, you know what? In every situation that the world could come to bring anxiety, to bring fear, to steal peace, he'd also face that. He'd also faced that and had overcome it perfectly. And just as he has sympathy in our weaknesses when we're tempted in different sins and different struggles, he also has sympathy in our weaknesses when we're tested to become anxious, to become troubled. But he says, I've overcome it. I can help you too. I can help you overcome it as well. And if we've failed, if we've struggled, even if we're sitting here this morning completely lacking the peace of God, we have the promise that he wants to give us his peace. He has overcome. Even if no one else can understand it, he can understand it. And if we can come to him and just trust him, he can give us his peace. He can give us that peace. And it may take some time. We may have to work through some things. We may have to continue to cling to these promises, even in the face of feeling different emotions inside of us. Maybe feeling different things in our soul and in our will, different emotions. But we need to take these things and believe them. We need to read these verses and know that they are more true than our experience. They are more true than our feelings. Let's just read a few more verses. I got a couple more minutes, so I'll just quickly finish up here. These are very familiar, but let's just read in Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. And part of the first verse, I like this passage because it is a little prescriptive. It gives us some instruction. And I think this instruction can actually build our faith. Paul, through the Holy Spirit, has given us a prescription for how we can find peace, a path to peace, that by bringing the Lord things by prayer and supplication, mixing it with thanksgiving, we can make our requests known to God. And that, taking those steps and walking that out in faith, we can have the promise that the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. And I was even just now reflecting on that it can be a guard for us, right? Like having a heart that is at peace is a guard for us against the schemes of the enemy, against temptation, against all the things that the world may try and throw at us. The peace of God is actually to be in our hearts and our minds as a guard for us against these things. And I say these things, and I've said it a few times, but I'll say it again. I can read these verses, and I have to acknowledge I'm not there yet. I cannot say that I am anxious for nothing. I cannot say that in all circumstances the peace of God has guarded my heart and mind and surpassed all comprehension, because I've let my comprehension rule. I've let my mind and my thinking rule and bring me into places of being anxious, being concerned, being negative, having a heart that's getting hardened by the different anxieties and fears. So I don't say this to condemn anybody, irrespective of depending on where you're at in this walk. I say this because it's a promise. It's written here. It is available to us. And we should not read these things and be discouraged and say, oh man, I'm such a failure. Jesus looks at me as such a failure. We should look at these things and say, no, it's there. It's available. It's a promise to us that we can abide in this peace, that in all circumstances, we can have the peace of God, which passes all comprehension, guarding our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. It's available to us. And as I read these verses this morning, I was, like I said, I'll restate it. It encouraged my heart. It caused me to have more of a focus and a desire to know this peace. And it also encouraged me to lay hold of these promises, to seek to be growing in this area, to not take it lightly. Like when I go through a week, if I find myself in a situation where I'm not abiding in the peace of God, where the peace of God is not ruling in my heart and mind, not to take that lightly, not to be condemned, not to give the enemy a open target to say, just throw whatever lies you want in there to beat me down and make me lose heart and lose hope. Not that at all, but rather to say, you know what? I need to cry out as the disciples in the boat. I need to cry out right now and ask Jesus to help me to find his peace, to find these promises, to show me how he, to lead me in the path to overcome, to lead me in the path to overcome this anxiety, this fear that's troubling my heart. Show me, Jesus. Show me the path through this. Show me the path through this. Holy Spirit, guide me. Show me how to find peace in this situation. We're given some guideposts in the scripture. We're given some guideposts in here about prayer, supplication, thanksgiving. They're like lanes on the road to help us. But I can say from practical experience, if we cry out, the Holy Spirit can also be giving us and teaching us very specifically according to our needs. Because of our Father's love for us, He knows the area where we're weak. He knows the things that trigger fear and anxiety in us. And He can have the Holy Spirit help to show us, listen, that's a lie right there. Stop listening to that lie. That is the enemy speaking to you, condemning you, causing you to lose faith. You need to hold up the shield of faith against that. And you need to make a choice now to turn from that and turn to me. Start believing the truth and the promises and stop believing these lies, as rational as they may be. In our comprehension and in our minds, there can be very rational things that say we have a right to be anxious. We have a right to be fearful because A plus B equals C. This has happened before. I've seen the outcome and I'm scared of that. And it's just like logic. And the peace of God doesn't ask us to deny logic. It doesn't ask us to say that nothing bad can ever happen. But it actually is intended to surpass that. It's intended to say, you know what, enemy, you're right. This may be true. This may be what's happened before. But by the grace of God, and because of the peace that Jesus has given me, I'm going to cry out in faith and ask that you help me to see a better path. See me a better path than dwelling all the things that have happened in the past and the way things have gone before. And find the path to peace. Find that overcoming that Jesus promised to his disciples when he promised them peace back in John. Okay, last verse, Colossians chapter 3, verse 15. I'll start in verse 14. Beyond all these things, put on love, which is the perfect bond of unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. And then there's a lot of really good verses after that about where we should be setting our minds on the word of Christ and wisdom and teaching and psalms and singing and all these things. But it says that the peace of Christ is to be a ruler or a judge in our hearts. It's intended to help us. And what we can say from that is if it's absent, already we have a judgment. And as again, I don't say it to condemn, but if it's absent, then we know that we were not called to that. We were called to have the peace of God in our hearts. So if it's absent, we can come to Jesus and say, listen, it's not there. I'm going to humble myself. I'm going to acknowledge it. And it's not your fault, Jesus. I'm not blaming you for this. But it's absent and I need you to help me. I need you to help me find this peace of Christ, which is intended to rule in my heart. It's intended to be a guide. Just as I said, as I go through my week, and if I feel the peace of Christ absent, this is how it's a judge. This is how it's a guide to us. If it's not there, it's an opportunity to pause and say, listen, where'd it go? Like, what's going on here? Why am I walking through my day filled with anxiety and fear and my heart is troubled? Why is that? Jesus, help me. Help me to come out of this. Show me the path. Show me the road to victory that you promised. Show me how I can overcome this situation and find your peace again. And I'll just say, like, in all, there's a lot more other verses, or a lot of, I had a whole page here of other verses that we could read on this. But I think if I could reemphasize a few things here from what I shared, it's just that, A, it is a calling, a promise, and a priority for us as believers that we have the peace of God. It should be a priority for us. Just as every one of us would say it's a priority for us to have the grace of God in our lives, it also should be a priority for us to have the peace of God in our lives. It's to be something that we should have a focus on because it's pervasive throughout the New Testament that it is a promise and a priority for us as believers. So that's the first thing I would say. The second thing I would say, though, is if we find it's absent, I would hate for somebody to walk away from here and get in the middle of their week this week and find the peace of God absent from their heart and let that snowball into allowing the enemy to condemn us and push us down and allow us to go even further into despair and discouragement, lack of peace, because we're now seeing that it's absent. And then instead of turning to faith, instead of turning to the promises, instead of crying out for Jesus to help us, we allow the enemy to come and take us even into a darker place because we say, like, I don't have his peace, and now Jesus is out, like, whatever the lies may be. Don't do that. Don't do that. If we see the peace of God absent, then start to cling to faith. Believe the promises. Read the scripture. Seek encouragement. There's other verses you could read here that give us some encouragement and instruction as to how we can encourage. Faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of God. Just as the disciples are lacking faith when they're in that fearful state, Jesus sort of exhorted them on that. So too for us, when we find ourselves lacking peace, let's look to the solution of believing the promises and finding things to build our faith and encourage us. And I can just also say from practical experience that as we walk through this, it's like a muscle. Just like grace, just like walking out and learning the path that Jesus has for us to overcome in temptation, I believe that walking in the peace of God is also like a muscle that gets strengthened. And it's not our strength. It's just that we begin to learn God's ways. We begin to learn, hey, last time I ended up in anxiety and fear here, and Jesus helped me out and he taught me this. And then we can learn from that and grow from that. And next time, instead of going a day or an hour or whatever it is in anxiety and fear, we can learn, like, last time Jesus taught me. He showed me how I can overcome. He showed me some truth or some practical obedience that I can apply to this situation and renew my mind and turn my mind to better things, and how I can do that and how I can resist the devil. We have to resist the devil in these things. How I can resist the devil, and that muscle gets strengthened and it gets stronger, and we're able to grow in this. Just as we can grow in grace, I also believe we can grow in the peace of God as he teaches us how to walk through these situations in the way that he wants to bring us his peace. Just as he promised it, he wants to bring it to us, and he wants to show us and help us in that.